episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, May 6, 2026. Happy birthday, Cool Joe. Joe Cool. All right. Welcome, bienvenue, à another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Big Daddy Labrador. Okay, we're at episode 338. Today's episode, I'll be talking about protecting my peace. I was going to say protecting your peace. Protect your neck? No. Protecting my peace. But before we do that, we're going to start with some quotables and some randomness. And as always, this episode is rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, freaking liberal as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. Listener, discretion is advised. Yeah. All right. You know what? I'm just going to keep it short and simple. Today's quotable is, I'm paraphrasing. This is something I had found on the internet, and I didn't save it to my usual location. So the wording, if you're familiar with it, might be a little different from what you probably heard. But it goes, some people enjoy solitude not because they hate people, but because they're tired of the drama, disrespect, and exhaustion that comes with the wrong company.
Message.
Right. Okay, that's it. That's it. Short and sweet. Okay, let's start with now time for randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Do I sound like a kid who's had too much sugar? I feel like it. I'm noticing the energy. I'm feeling a little hyper. And if I had a babysitter, I would probably be put on timeout or sent tranquilizer pills.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right. Overthinking this section. Randomness. This is me talking to myself. Is when I prepare for these episodes, for an episode, I sometimes have a habit of overthinking. Do I have too much? Do I not have enough? How long is too long? How short is too short? And I feel I just inserted this section as like a pacifier, like a way to be like, do the goddamn show. I mean, it doesn't have to be, you know, like I have, four. Oh, wow. Okay. Four randomness. And I kept thinking, I actually had three. Then I threw in a fourth one because I was like, it's not an, like a panic, whatever. But this is my way of saying calm the fuck down. And I'm also trying to get into the habit or developing the habit, the skill of saying more with less. Do you know what I mean? More with less, being more concise, more to the point. But anyways, progress, not perfection, kids. Progress, not perfection.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right, this one I added because I have like a hobby. I'm gonna call it a hobby of finding new podcasts, especially like hidden jewels, hidden gems that no one. It's not the finding new podcasts and then comparing my podcast to theirs, and I always disappoint myself. I'm not like comparing in a way like, well, this is what I do better than them. It's more like, damn, fuck, they got their shit together. This recent one that I found, I forgot the name, but all I can tell you is I couldn't stop being jealous over how good this woman's voice sounded. You know what? I think I get jealous of good-looking people too, like visual podcasts. Especially like, or DJs or people who dress up. You know, I say good looking people, women, good looking women. And I'm not jealous to the point, well, you're just getting off on your looks. It's just more like, I can't stop myself. It's a bad obsession. I can't stop myself from being like, and this is why my shit sucks. Again, bad habit. I'm working on it. Kids, progress, not perfection.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
That last one, those last two is a reminder of why I don't like giving people advice. Because I always feel like shit when I don't practice it. Or when I contradict myself, or I do some hypocritical shit, but here we are. All right, okay. Let's talk about something that I did have written down. And today, I had the pleasure of attending a two-part series, day one of two, of a pre-retirement course. And it's one of those courses that all my colleagues kept telling me, yo, you should take it when you're young. You should take it when you're young. And I didn't do it. I didn't fucking do it. And the beginning of the course made me realize why I was procrastinating on taking this course. Or excuse me, this workshop, attending this workshop. And the presenter knew their shit. I remember at the beginning, I was like, yo, the fuck, man, you're already to the numbers, you suck. And I realized they weren't the problem. The problem was, and again, realizing why I've been procrastinating on taking this course, is because the concept of retirement gives me anxiety. Actually, thinking about the future gives me anxiety, has always given me anxiety. And I remember, and the funny part is, I thought that I had, it's not just retirement, but also getting old, the idea of death. Because, yeah, during the presentation, homie was like, yeah, when you die, this money goes to this, your beneficiary, you know, thinking about beneficiary, your will, and things like that. I didn't realize I was still shook about the concept of death. Now, I'm not saying that's not normal. I'm just saying realizing, like, the hardest part of the course was the noise in my head. The more this guy kept talking about retirement, old age, post-retirement life, death beneficiary, my mind was all like, I was not in the right mindset. And you know what? And I've realized that even as a younger person, thinking about the future always gave me anxiety. I was like, I was a teenager and I was thinking about my 30s. I was like, I'm going to be dead. There's no way I'm going to make it to my 30s. Then I got to my 30s. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to make it to my 40s. Got to my 40s. There's no way I'm going to be in my 50s. Now I'm 50. I'm like, any day now. I have spoken to a professional about it, but it's still there. So yes, the hardest part about this course was realizing how much I hate thinking about the future. It was just thinking about the future gives me anxiety. Like, my brain is unable of picturing, hey, shit might work out. This is actually a back and forth I have with my therapist, because I'm like, and imagining all these worst case scenarios. And it's like, yeah, but what if it works out? And I'm like, damn, you naive. What the fuck? You know, I'm like, but I'm paying you for this shit, for this naivety, you know, and it took a while before the idea of what if it works out? Like actually stuck, actually gave it some thoughts. Like, what if? And then I went back to, nah, it's not going to work out. Fuck that. Nah, I mean, whatever. But anyway, so that was one thing. Another thing that got my attention is this the person, the instructor, he was he's a financial advisor. And he was talking about how you need to diversify your portfolios and have different investments. And there's something he said, he was talking about how, if you've ever talked to a financial advisor, because this is my second time dealing with one, and they'll tell you, like, find an investment with a risk that you can tolerate. But the part that got in my mind is he said, like, sometimes playing it too safe can be as dangerous as, or can be as, did he use the word dangerous? I think he used the word, he said as bad as taking, as being reckless. At least that's how I understood what he was saying. And to me, blah, my mind exploded. I'm like, what the fuck is this sinner? Is this motherfucker trying to get me in a casino? Is that what this is about? The idea that not taking risks can be as unfortunate as taking risks. And the reason why it gets to me, and I want to be clear that I'm not blaming parents. What I am going to say is I grew up in a household. The attitude was fuck risk. Don't take a goddamn risk. It's better to heal. This is a French expression. C'est mieux de guérir que de... what's the expression? C'est mieux de prévenir que de guérir. It's better to prevent. It's better to avoid shit than to get yourself in trouble. Like, that was the mindset. That's what I grew up with. And I remember later, as a younger adult, discovering this Mark Twain quote that goes, that went, 20 years from now, you're likely going to regret the things you didn't do over the things you did do. And that blew my mind. Like, what the fuck's wrong with you, Mark Twain? You trying to get me to be reckless? You trying to be whatever. Anyways, getting back to what I was saying about, I'm not going to blame my parents for this, because again, they raised me to be very cautious, to be not take risks, don't rock the boat. Like, if you need to, shut the fuck up, keep your fucking mouth shut, but don't be wild out there. And as a young adult, I remember resenting them for it. But during the session, it hit me the possibility that maybe they grew up in an environment where they were surrounded by reckless people. Recklessness. I'm laughing because, and of course, there's no way they would tell me about Uncle Jimmy, who gambled all his, they would never tell me about that kind of stuff. I have a cousin. He was a badass. Like, I looked up to him. He was like, he did it all. He, like, the gangs, the girls, growing up, like, he was like the quote unquote bad influence. And I admired him. And my parents did their best to keep me away from that person, to keep me away from him, because he's like, yo, he's a bad kid. To them, he was a bad kid. The truth is, I mean, sure, whatever. But he was a free spirited. He didn't. I've used this quote before. I'm thinking of a line by 50 Cent. Yes, out of all people, he's got a line. He goes, "When I was young, I couldn't do good. Now I can't do bad." It's like being this reckless human being got me to where I am, taking risks, being the jump and think about later. You know, okay, I know I'm being extreme, but I'm really trying to hone in on the idea of what really my brain exploded when homie said sometimes not taking risks can be as bad as taking risks. Bottom line, where I'm getting to this is this goddamn pendulum. It's a pendulum. Like, you know, homie said it best. He said it well. Find the level of risk you're willing to accept. You can be the motherfucker on the rocking chair, or you can be the motherfucker in the casinos. Or you can be both. Rocking chair at the casinos. But yeah, it's, I just thought it was interesting. Some good thinking. Sorry, I'm looking at my notes. I made a reference to tic-tac-toe. I said, I always thought playing it safe was the safest bet. It's like that move in tic-tac-toe. Like, in tic-tac-toe, there's a move you can do, you never lose. No one wins, but you never lose. So I thought not taking risk was like, yeah. I'm saying this shit, but I'm really hoping, you know, this is not, I don't want people writing in and being like, well, since you're willing to take risk, let me tell you about a bridge I have for sale. You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, that's... Anyway, I'm just saying, yo, this course was really eye-opener. It's a lot to think about. I was talking to my cousin about it, and he recommended, like, yeah, man, this, it's one of those courses, like, it's one of those courses you need to take three times. One, probably to go through what I went through, to, like, to accept the fact that, all right, fuck it, I'm old. I'm in retirement planning mode. The second time is when you need help. You probably need more details to, like, iron out the details in your plan for retirement. Like, one question he asked, and I never really gave it thought, is, what are your retirement plans? Meaning, what's your life going to be like when you retire? I never gave it thought. I'm like, what the fuck? I can't picture the last time I didn't have to go to work was because I was unemployed. And I spent all that time worrying about the fact that I was unemployed. Now that I have a job, I spent all my time wishing I didn't have, like, I was like Freedom 55, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, retirement life. I can't picture not having a reason to wake up in the morning. I mean, okay, let me rephrase that. I can't picture not having a reason to wake up in the morning and bitch about the fact that I had to wake up in the morning. Like, this is your time. Like, if I was rich, this is your time. What are you going to do with it? But what I do like is the first thought that did come to mind was travel. I think that's what the biggest thing would be. If I can live a lifestyle where I can travel. Yo, I could travel. The last time I was in Mexico, I saw this couple there. And they were like, in the middle of the trip, they initially planned to be there for a week. And they change their mind. Say, yeah, fuck it. Let's stay another week. I'm like, what the fuck? People do that? It blew my mind that you could do that. I'm like, what? Yo, I feel like a lot of people might be, some people listening to this being like, damn, you sheltered. Yeah, what the fuck? I ain't got it like some of you must have it. But yeah, the idea of, like, I do 7 days, I'm gone. I actually had a dream last week. That I was like, I was on a week trip resort, and it was Wednesday, and I was already annoyed at the fact that, fuck, man, after this is Thursday, then Friday, then I got to go home on set, pack and head back. And you know what the dream was? What woke me up is the idea of, wait, let's stay another week. Just call him work, tell him, go fuck yourself. I'm not coming in. I'm taking an extra week because, motherfucker, I can. Charge it on your credit, whatever, man. And you have, imagine having the freedom to do that financially and time to do that. And oh my God, what was I talking about? Yes. Retirement, pre-retirement. That's where I'm at in life from it. I'm not planning retirement. I'm thinking about planning retirement. I'm at that part of my life. And it fucks me up, man. It fucks me up. It's whatever. It's transition. Life is. Some things will never change.
So, you're a philosopher?
Yes.
I am so fucking tired of white men cosplaying the apocalypse. The only fucking reason why we needed the goddamn Voting Rights Act in the first place is because of white men! I don't care that you don't fucking see the value in it. Neither did your great-grandfather. And that's the fucking reason we have it. It got passed in the fucking 60s. I am tired of it. I'm tired of fucking pretending that the motherfuckers responsible for us needing it aren't alive. They're alive. And you call them grandma. So no, white boy, I don't care what the fuck you think. Preach. About the goddamn Voting Rights Act.
Preach.
I don't care. I don't care what any white person thinks about it. Mm-hmm. At fucking all. Because the only reason we need any of this shit is because white people needed to be told in writing not to be awful.
Message.
That's why. You guys don't like that part. But that's what laws are. They're telling you not to be a piece of shit. It's very weird that we have so many fucking laws surrounding race because white men won't fucking be better. Message. They won't be better. They won't do better. It doesn't fucking matter what year it is.
In the year of our Lord, 2026, we are still discussing the merits of black people fucking voting because you are not different than your fucking ancestors.
Message.
In case you didn't hear it, yes. Woo! That brother spoke for all of us. I've seen him going around. His name on TikTok is Ryan. Links are within the show notes. Is Ryan and damn. Hold on. Sorry. I just went on his profile. And it's... I definitely overthink. Ah, man. CEC podcast. I'm going to check it out. Right. One more time.
Message.
Yeah, man. I had a similar thought. Okay, he's American. I had a similar thought when we were at work when diversity and inclusion, DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Or at my job, we have this thing where they have this thing called what's the word they used here? Essentially, it's similar. It's like, I forgot something about visible minorities. Whatever, man. But I nearly had a moment like him when a white person was complaining about, what the fuck you gotta be? Why you gotta self-represent? What is that about? What you gotta think about? Like he's the oppressed. I nearly went on a rant like him to say, because they have to institute rules on motherfuckers like you because they can't trust you not to be fucking racist. But I'm not racist, but yeah. I remember I had, I read this one time, I had two friends. I was quitting a job and I had two friends who I was willing to refer to my employer at the time, right? And I showed her two resumes, two names. For both of them were black, but one of them had a white-sounding name. And the other one had, like, a Spanish-Cuban name. Guess which one my employer picked. And she was really slick about it. It's like, I'm like, I showed her the first one. I was like, oh, okay, that's good. And then I showed her the second one. I said, yeah, let's go with the first one. Oh, maybe there were skill sets, whatever. You know what? Who knows? Whatever. I guess this is not the kind of stuff that I would, I can't prove in court. Like if she were to say, no, I wasn't being racist, because whatever, I can't prove in court. But I just did find it interesting how she locked into the resume with the Christian name. Well, she didn't have a Christian name, but a name that could have belonged to a white person. Oh my God. Yeah, man. Shout out to Ryan. I def overthink for that
message.
All right. This concludes, randomness. Let's jump to final thought. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. Fired up, can't take no more. Fired up, can't take no more. All right. Yeah, man. No, homie got me fired up. Oh, wait, did I forget to follow? Yes, following. All right. I don't usually like bringing other previous topics into this one, but hey, whatever. It's my goddamn podcast. All right. Today's feature thought. I'm considering calling today's episode Close to the Edge Part 2, meaning as a follow-up to the previous episode. On the last episode I talked about, I was checking in on my mental health. And it was a check-in on my mental health. I'm pausing because I'm laughing at the idea that I'm talking about my mental health, and it's like someone were to ask me, describe your mental health in a word, and my response was close to the edge, you know? And I would understand if you felt the need to be like, okay, let's talk. Okay, hold on a second. Put the knife down. Put the weapons. Put any sharp objects down. Let's have a conversation. Bell, let's talk. So, and I want to believe that I talked about feeling, I'm not saying I am, but feeling like sometimes I was close to the edge in a healthy way. You know, fun fact, I was actually, after I recorded the last episode, I was actually a little nervous about publishing it because I made a reference to the manifesto of the last dude who shot up the oh my God, the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And I said, I'm not saying he should have did it, but I understand. I had one of those moments. But I knew that we live in a world, we live in a time where shit like that could be misunderstood or could be interpreted as, okay, nah, he means to do harm. But this is my attempt to, it was my attempt to speak about being close to the edge in a healthy way. But I get it. But I understand, right? I'm trying to picture someone talking about how, yeah, I've talked about killing you. It's like, yeah, that would make me uncomfortable. You know what I mean? And you're twitching. Don't do that. You're making me nervous. My crew, well, they do pack. Them dudes are murderers. All right, okay. All right, so follow up to the last summary of what I talked about in the last episode. But in this episode, the reason I want to do a follow up on a mental health is because I was made aware at work. Whoops. I was made aware at work. I'm typing as I, that I believe it's, yes, it is. In Canada, it's CMHA, I don't know what that is, but Mental Health Week runs from May 4th to May 10th. So it is Mental Health Week or not? Oh, then Sue is, okay, distracted. Oh, Canadian Mental Health Association has declared that May 4th to May 10th is Mental Health Week. And the reason I know that is because she's not the CEO, she's like a director at my work, one of the high up, management, sent out an email talking about making us aware that it's May 4th, Mental Health Week, Mental Health Awareness Week, whatever the fuck, whatever it is, right? And in her message, she said some shit about how there was a part that bothered me. She said, mental health, and some of you might be feeling lonely. And sometimes we need to get together, so we need to check in on each other and yada yada and all that, whatever that bullshit. And I was like, I wish I was in the room. Okay, I want to keep my job, but part of me wish could have raised, was in the room hearing that, raised her hand and being like, hey, don't do that. Some of us are maintaining our mental health by being left the fuck alone. Like that whole checking on your strong friends, don't do that. Well, you know what? Consider the possibility that your friend, your strong friend, is strong because you're leaving them the fuck alone. Now, I guess I'm gonna have to speak from my own experience, right? They talk about this male loneliness epidemic, and I don't know enough to speak wisely about the male loneliness epidemic, fact, myth, whatever it is, whatever, right? I can say that I'm in the categories of human beings who love their solitude because that's the only way they figured out how to protect their peace. In my experience, those who suffer from loneliness, I want to be clear, my experience, those suffering from loneliness fucking deserve it. It could be the abusive boyfriend. It could be the needy partner. It could be my experience, people seek companionship only because they hate being alone, only because they would be their own worst enemy. They need someone to project their misery on, project their whatever hatred. It's like if you weren't in the room, then they would be beating themselves up. That's my experience. And that's why I started today's episodes with the quotable, some people enjoy solitude, not because they hate people, but because they're tired of drama, disrespect and exhaustion that comes with the wrong company. Some of you, like, if you're, that's what's fucked up. The wrong company. I'm talking to the wrong company. Don't check on your tough friends, on your strong friends. And here's the problem. Those who are the wrong company don't see themselves as the wrong company. They see themselves, oh my God, they must be lonely without me. No. Leave them the fuck alone. You know, along that same topic, there's a shout out to you people who are always trying to hook up your friends. I'm gonna pick on women with this one here, right? It's because yes, it's usually with women, and God bless your good intentions, but you'll see a man who's single, and you want to do some good, and be like, oh man, and it breaks your heart to see them single. It's like, yo, I'm gonna set you up with one of your friends, and I'm like, first figure out why the fuck he's single. You know what I mean? Because you might be sending your friend into the lion's den. Do you know what I mean? Maybe there's a find out why the fuck homie is single. And fuck it, include me in that shit. Except I'm the guy who said, no, please. I would rather be left alone. Or if you're going to hook him up with someone, hook him up with someone who, I was going to say, values their solitude. Like, that would be the one thing they have in common. But yeah, I'm just saying, being alone is not a bad thing. Being left alone is not a bad thing. And I hated that she used loneliness or solitude and made a connection between that and mental health. Oh, you're lonely, so you're whatever, man. Look, I got my own issues to sort out. I'm considering the possibility that maybe, I mean, I'm starting to narrow down that. Excuse me. I don't hate people. I hate bad company. But there is a part of my brain that if I was in good company, would probably sabotage, would probably constantly be waiting for the shoe to drop. Nah, what's going on? Nah, fuck that, man. You're gonna fuck me on, you know, and that could be enough to like ruin a friendship relationship. I understand that. Like, you know, I'm aware of that. But I am saying, don't fucking treat loneliness. I'm gonna say solitude, being left alone, as a bad thing. As a matter of fact, I don't trust people who don't like being left alone, who don't like being alone. I knew this one dude. I'm not gonna use any names. Because it doesn't matter, because he's a reflection of a problem that what I'm about to describe here. And homie was in a shitty relationship. And he was like in his 50s. He was just getting out of a shitty relationship. And I was kind of surprised that, okay, first, the shitty relationship that he had was the kind of shitty relationship he should have had when he was younger. When he was in his 20s. Like, a lot of us had our, like, terrible relationship in our 20s, but it should have been something you learned from. So he was experiencing in his 50s something he should have, I've experienced in my 20s. So I was sympathetic to it. And instead of taking the, because that's what I did, but instead of taking the time of being like, yo, I need to work on myself, motherfucker jumps into another relationship. And I wasn't trying to analyze about at all, but I remember just saying, casually asking the question as I'm hearing him talk about, like, I should specify, he got into another relationship and it was shitty as well. You know, like, at some point you take the time to notice that, oh, why am I the common denominator? How do I end up with the wrong people? But I remember asking him, it's like, do you not like, I can't remember what the specific question, but essentially, do you have a problem with being alone? And homeboy didn't hesitate. Oh, fuck. It's like just the idea of being alone freaked him out. Oh, hell no. Oh, being alone. What the fuck? You crazy? That's a problem. Because I don't know about the other person in that relationship, but I do know how he can contribute to a bad relationship. I don't just mean picking the wrong people, but I can see how. Let me put it this way. He's the kind of person that if he told you about his ex, about how his ex did him wrong and all that shit, your first question should be, what role did you play? Like, he's Mr. Yeah, you need to hear both sides of the story. Oh, I'm not saying the ex is the good guys and he's the bad guy, whatever. I'm saying, oh, fuck, you'll just see it's a recipe for the two people who should not have hooked up. That's exactly the conclusion you're going to reach. But yeah, man, sometimes leave people alone because they're trying to protect their peace. All right, one last point before I wrap this up. Remember, this was supposed to be a short episode, but here I am. Wrap this up is I fucking hate when employers start talking that, yeah, we need to come together. And I think the hidden agenda in what she was saying is because at my work location, they're bringing back, they're getting rid of hybrid work arrangements. It's like, get your punk ass in the office. And I'm a black person. I'm black. I've experienced racism. I've survived racism in the workplace several times. And this one time, it took a toll on me to the point that I needed to take some time off. So I'm not really excited about getting back into the office and experiencing 4 days. Like, they don't pay me enough to... They pay me just enough to do my job. Not to fucking tolerate the motherfuckers you hired by mistake that fell through the cracks. I'm not saying all people are bad, but there are people. Look, I know for a fact there are people who come into work because they're trying to escape their family. Or who come into work and their family are fucking like is the word respite? But the time they have away from them is a fucking break. And they bring all that drama to the workplace. Ah, motherfucker. Oh, God forbid that they're managers. Okay, everyone's working overtime. Everyone's sticking around because I don't want to face my wife. Because all she does is remind me that I ain't shit. And as a result, I'm going to take it out on you. Where the fuck is your TPS report? Do you know, I hated when she said that, yeah, we need to come together. And I, again, wanted to raise my hand and say, have you met the motherfuckers who work here? Some of us are just tolerating them. Oh, my God. Anyway, yeah, so this is why this became the final thought for today's episode, because it got on my fucking nerves. But yeah, anyways, conclusion is, yeah, don't check on your strong friends or consider the possibility you might be the reason why your strong friend doesn't want to be checked in on. I don't know. It's a question. I can't think of a single person who I feel the need to, let me check on them and see how they're doing. Oh, because I got my own fucking problems. But I do know I guess I'm trying to think of who would call me and would make me. Nah, man. I think it's, you gotta be careful. I'm that guy who, hey, I called with good intentions. I just wanted to see everything was okay. And I'm like, you know what? Okay, that's not fair. I'm thinking about, I have had a few phone calls from people I haven't talked to in a while. I think that was the beauty in there. Because when they called, it was genuine. They really were trying to be like, hey, I just thought of you. They weren't trying to like get into heaven. They weren't trying to see God. I did a good deed. I checked in on my depressing old friend. It was like a genuine interaction. I think that felt nice. But when it's like, I guess the other thing too is I grew up in a Christian, toxic Christian environment, and people do good deeds, but with expectations and shit. Do you know what I mean? All right, okay, I'm looking at the time. I went over time. It's Wednesday, so I don't like editing podcasts on Wednesday. Oh, my God, I talk a lot. All right, okay. That's it, gang. That's it for today's episode 338, Twist on Tantuit. I want to remind you that website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. Remember, when you write in, I need you to remember that it's my goddamn podcast. Whatever you plan on writing down, whatever critique you plan on saying, remember that it's my goddamn podcast. All right. Thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace. I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black.